out, hallelujah. I need you to lay a demand on what you're about to hear. Close your eyes. The woman with the issue of blood laid a demand on Jesus Christ and she got healed. Start talking to the Lord. Father, as I hear your word this morning, and if you're online, please pray this prayer along with us. Father, as I hear your word this morning, give me my greatest testimonies from this moment throughout the rest of 2019. Oluwa bi tin gboro re loni fun mi ni eri nla lati oni lo titi di opin odun. Father, give me my greatest testimonies as I hear your word from this day till the end of the year. And I pray so shall it be in the name of Jesus Christ. Shake somebody beside you and say, welcome to church. Welcome to church. We may be seated. The July 7 celestial showers has been rightly tagged testimony showers, showers of testimony. And I want you to try and spell the word testimony without the word test. The first four letters in the word testimonies as a plural word is T-E-S-T. And what does that tell you? That every testimony that you harvest, every testimony that your life records, has test inside it as a seed for the harvest of the testimony. Did we get that? Your testimony is a harvest. The test that spells it at the beginning is the seed for the harvest. Therefore, nobody gets a testimony without going through a test. Praise God. Now, the word test occurs in the Bible 37 times. How many times? Now, if you do biblical numerics, who understands that language? What does 37 give you? 3 plus 7, which is, I told you that test is the seed for the harvest called testimony. No wonder, therefore, that the word test occurs in the Bible 37 times, which significance is 10. And 10 is the number of tithe. Every time God takes you and I through a challenge, an examination in our life, a problem, a situation that takes out the best out of us, what is God planning for you? He is laying you up for a harvest. So any Christian that runs away from a test, any Christian that crumbles in the face of a challenge, is already throwing away his or her testimony. Can I pray for somebody in the house today? Your testimony shall not be lost. You will overcome all your tests in the name of Jesus. Let me show you something even more fanciful. Although the word test occurs in the Bible 37 times, I sat down one day. I copied from the Bible all the 37 occurrences of the word test. I was looking for something. Guess what I found out? Although they are 37, they all group up under 10 categories. Any test that you can ever go through in your life, and I want you to think of the tests that you have ever been through since you gained cognition. You could recognize yourself. Think of any trouble you've been through in life, any challenge, any problem, any test, and you will find out that they fall in one of 10 categories. There's no 11th category for tests. I feel so excited that the Lord will take me through such a research into His Word. Now, we think there are problems in the world. Oh, the world is big. 7 billion people in the world. The problems of the world are so many. The problems of the world are 10.
been through so much.
We will find what you've been through in one of 10 categories. Look at your neighbor and say, don't kill yourself. Take a look at the next neighbor and say, don't kill yourself, Joe. Imagine people commit suicide thinking that the whole world has conspired against them. There's no reason to stay in the world anymore. Meanwhile, what they are going through is just one of 10 tests. I am sure, we may not have found it, but I am sure that there is a Christian, even a non-Christian, who has gone through 10 categories of tests and is still standing firm. You just see one, Shikmini, just one small test, and you say you want to kill yourself. Who you help before you kill yourself? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm speaking the language of Mahuyon. Let me list those categories for you and then challenge yourself. The test of lawlessness. Every time you do something that is against the law of your land or against the law of God, there are consequences. Nobody pushed you. You did it. And it becomes a test. The test of sinfulness. The one that turns the bottle of Crest into something else. Hallelujah. It is a test happening to pastors, male and female, let alone regular members of the church. Number three, the test of humility. The Bible says every time you lift yourself up, God removes the chair so you fall down. And every time you are arrogant, the test of your humility will cost you something. But you know what? In the face of choosing to be proud, when you choose to be humble, your test, you have passed it, it takes you into a testimony. Because somebody who is expecting you to be proud sees you as humble and says, what can I do to help you? You did not ask for the help. And then the person chooses to help you and you step forward taking the microphone one day beside Sister Sarah. And we are all shouting, God did it for you. Because you chose to be humble. Number four. The test of obedience. The word of God is there for all of us. Every time we choose to obey the word of God, we line ourselves up for the wonders of God to follow through. And every time we fail to obey the word of God, we fail the test. We lose the testimony. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to overcome every test of obedience. In the name of Jesus. There's a test of capability. The test of capability. A lot of people miss opportunity because they are not ready. They are not ready. Get ready before the opportunity comes. It is not the opportunity that will get you ready. So when the test of opportunity comes and you pass it, the opportunity becomes your testimony. You fail it, you see only the test. Then there is the test of wisdom. Every time you choose to be unwise, every time you choose to be stupid, like you are in a gathering where people already place you on a level of esteem, and then you choose and say, move at disgrace at Amilene. People say it, they think it's a joke, but guess what? Everybody who has given you esteem, they remove it. Because you chose to lose the esteem. It's a test of wisdom. And you never chose to be stupid. Or you dress the wrong way to a good occasion. Maybe the Lord has lined up somebody to perceive you, see you, sense you at that occasion. But you dress wrongly there. You know you will be addressed just the way you are dressed. You miss the test of wisdom. Thank God for Shadaiville Leadership Academy. Every time we go through the diet and we line people up for graduation, we begin to discover that we have quite a number of students who are about to graduate who never wore a suit in their life. So they have, I will not graduate you unless you have a suit. And how can you blame them? You are born a celestial. Your church clothes is not suit. It is sutana. Even when it is suit, it is cassock. And then somebody gives you an invitation and then forces you and say it's a black tie event. You say, Ogini. Meanwhile, black tie event does not mean wear black. It simply means dress formal. And all your formal clothes are cassock and surplice. For where now? So for the sake of Shadaiville leadership graduation, people have gained the wisdom of social skills. There's the test of truth. The test of truth. Every one of us will go through it. And each time we choose to lie, to save ourselves from embarrassment, there's somebody around who records you as a liar. Because no matter how much you hide the truth, it finds a way out. You may lie today and get away with it. A month later, somebody will remind them, come, so you lied that day. And when the same person is placed in a position of authority, a few years later, and they're looking for somebody who is truthful, you'll be the last person to consider. Because that person knows you love to lie. This is not about breaking eggs. It's not about lighting candles. It's not about fasting, praying, going to vigils. It's just about character. Every test in the whole wide world, broken down into 10 categories, they test our character, they don't test our spirituality. Hallelujah. There is the test of faith. Sick today, feel like you're going to die, suffer an attack. La sister, honestly, Yabo, just shared on this podium. It's a test of your faith. If you choose to die, you die. If you choose to live, you live. I remember an encounter in London. I was with my very good friend. Because I'm going to say something deep, I will not share his name online. A wonderful minister of God, a shepherd in London. We were in his church, tidying up to leave after a service. Everybody else had gone home. And then he got a call. And they told him that his eldest brother, back home in Nigeria, was gravely ill. I just saw my friend shaking on the phone. He loved his brother so much, but the report was so bad. After the call, I asked him, what's the situation? He told me, I said, but why fret when we can pray? God chose that we will be here in church, in front of the altar, before the news came to you. This is where to pray. Gird your loin, let us pray. When we prayed, guess what I saw? The man in Nigeria who was sick had chosen death. We in London, we were praying that he should live. There was no way our prayer would be answered. He had chosen death. This was a fantastic missionary. The man didn't have any time for gathering people in a church like we are doing here in Praiseville. No, he was always going on missions outside Nigeria, to the recesses of villages in Nigeria and across the western region of Africa. He was tired. He chose death. He wanted to go home and rest. So when the test of your faith comes to you the next time, you are the one who chooses the outcome. Whether you will die in the test, or your test will become a testimony. For everyone who will choose to turn their test into testimony, stand up and shout hallelujah. Then the last two, the test of spirits and the test of loyalty. That is loyalty to God. Are you going to falter in your steps and suddenly shift your goalpost to the devil? This particularly happens when people are looking desperately for husband or wife, desperately for money. I have seen wonderful Christian sisters desperate for husband and don't mind becoming number two or number three. I have seen wonderful brothers desperate for money. I see them all the time when I go to witness the weddings of praise villas and Shaddai villas, especially at the wedding industry in Nigeria. You know the wedding industry, Ikoyi registry. That's the number one wedding industry in Nigeria. Every other local government registry is queuing behind. They wed from morning till night, 24/7, including Saturdays. You see an otherwise fire-spitting, tongue-twisting brother coming to the registry with one old German lady, one old British woman, one old American woman, that even if she whistles, you will not look there twice. But they're looking for papers in England, in Europe, in America. I see some brothers removing their face. Are you guilty? Now, what will desperation make you choose? Your loyalty to God, or you're ready to shift your goalposts? Many have given up their Christian ideals just to make money. So you're doing bet this, bet that, something in Jebu. Did I mention name? Hallelujah. And if you're online and you think this does not concern you because you're in Canada or America and there's no something in Jebu over there, the one they call the one in your country, are you doing it? Praise God. Why do the 37 appearances of test in life group up into 10 compartments? Is the reason God gave us 10 commandments. If you follow and obey every commandment of those 10, none of the 37 tests you can come across in life will change your Christianity, will change your testimony in the name of Jesus. I need to rush. Spell testimonies, everybody. The plural. 1, 2, 3, go. T-E-S-T-I-M-O-N-E. Now, the last six letters, M-O-N-I-E-S, is what? That is the plural of money. Now, I have dealt with tests. Let us deal with money. No Christian is truly worthy with sustainable wealth unless you tithe your tenth to God. I want to encourage everyone listening to me here. You are not too young. As long as you're making money, keep a tenth of it aside and return it to God for the furtherance of the gospel. It is your greatest insurance to keep making money. People wonder how Shaddaiville and Praiseville were able to help so many people, and we are not more than this. It is because in Shaddaiville and Praiseville, we have committed tithers. Listen, the offering you give at every showers meeting is nothing compared to the tenth you're meant to return to God every time you earn money. Offering is not what helps the church to fulfill its duties to society. It is the tithe of men and women. And I want to say this prayer. Please give me a resounding amen. If you're online and you're a tither, or you're here and you're a tither, this is a prayer for you. That Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will continue to consecrate the riches, the wealth of the tithers in the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus. As they give their tenth to you, I declare the devil shall not be able to toy with what is left in their hands. And what is left in their hands will continue to grow in the name of Jesus. This is me encouraging those who have not fallen into that category. You don't need to bring your tithe to Shaddaiville or Praiseville, but give your tithe to your church. I'm going to say a few things that will guide you in how to give your tithe, because we're looking at the monies in testimony. If your anointing is so much that when you are walking, people are following you with buckets to fetch your anointing. Your anointing is overflowing, so they're collecting it with buckets. Anointing without financing is what? Annoyance. Let's say that together. Anointing without financing is annoyance. Where do you give your tithe? You put your tithe in the hand of your Melchizedek. Who is your Melchizedek? The man that ministers bread and life to you. The one that coaches your spiritual life and coaches your secular life. The one that prays for you. The one that when you're talking to God, you're thanking God for using him for you. That's your Melchizedek. Now, a lot of us take our tithe, not to our Melchizedek, but to where we think we should take it to. Some even take their tithe to KFC. Some take their tithe to restaurants. Some take their tithe to Tejo Show Market. And the Lord is waiting to bless their tithe. Can I pray for everybody in the house? In the mighty name of Jesus, your tithe will begin to bring your rewards in the name of Jesus. Something close to tithe is first fruit. I timed myself to end at 8:20 and I think I'm going to end it now. The testimony of first fruit excites me, makes me proud. There are just a handful of Celestians in CCC Praiseville who every year and sometime during the year when they experience first fruit in their lives, the first thing they think of is God, that he made it possible, and they come to church and they hand over their first fruit to their Melchizedek. I will not mention names. I remember a guy, very diligent, always the first to come and help Are set up instruments, always the one to ensure the altar is fit for service. The first time he will give his first fruit, it was the Holy Spirit that moved him. It was during the week, there was no service. And he stood at that door because the church door was locked. I was in my office. He stood at the door and he called me. And I said, I'm in the office. He didn't see my car, so he thought I wasn't around. I stepped out. He said, what's the problem? He said, I am between lectures. The Lord said to me to hand my first fruit. This is the first time in my life that I am earning tangible money. And the Lord said, I shall hand everything over as my first fruit. I said, let me go and get the key to the veil. He said, no, Daddy, there won't be enough time to go back for my lecture. Let us pray here. This is my altar. And I prayed over his first fruit and I left. That year, the Lord remembered him for his first international trip outside of the country. Let me tell you what that trip did to his life. Because we were on that journey together in Germany. And he said to me on a bus, we were moving from Berlin to Frankfurt on a night bus. He said, Dad, I can no longer settle for life in Nigeria. We spent only 10 days in Germany. It's an experience you cannot buy off the shelf. Unless you have tried it, you can't understand it. It is much more than touring a strange country. He had a personal encounter. The Lord told him, this is the life I want for you. I've been going to England and America and South Africa and God knows where else and all over Europe for years. Lord, he never told me that that's the life he wants for me. A man travels for the first time and today he lives in America, all tied to his first fruit. But the sweetest part of giving his first fruit was his testimony after he got married. Right here in the veil. And his beautiful wife is here listening to me. Have I mentioned name? Exactly. And I'm sure he's online watching also. After that wedding, about a month after, he called me and said, "Dad, I now know what it means to be married to the bone of your bone and the flesh of your flesh. The Bible is real because of the wife I married. By your head, I'm done preaching." Have you been failing in your responsibilities to God financially? Have you been failing in giving your time to God dutifully? Have you been failing in being in the health ministry for the work of God committedly? Talk to the Lord right now to help you. Because you are the one who is stopping your test from becoming a testimony. Say secret in your heart, and if you are online, say this also. Lord, help me. Help me to fulfill my part in your kingdom. Help me to do the things that will move me from test to testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for I know you have answered my prayers. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.